This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to New Beginnings. I am Freddie Bell, and with me right now is our co-host on the program, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. The website is rippleconnects.com, 763-438-1621. Good morning, Joe McKenzie, and welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Freddie Bell. How are you today?
Unbelievable, and I'm excited to kick off March. That means that we're one day closer to spring. What a brutal winter we had.
That's what I was going to say.
I'm excited about this, and I'm also excited about the topic this weekend, talking about career transition, getting promoted, and graduating from college in the middle of a pandemic. We gear our show to baby boomers, but also we know that there are a lot of baby boomers who have students living with them or they're caring for a student. And I'm wondering if we can talk about transition strategies for successful career moves into 2021. For example, you've talked often about using the STAR method. Can you talk about how the STAR method would help someone who is in career transition or matriculating from college into the workforce?
The STAR method is a widely known method for answering behavioral-based interview questions. It's easily found by Googling or at the Ripple Connects website. I have it. I've had it there for years because I think everybody, regardless of age, I've taught my teenagers the STAR method for answering behavioral-based or situational-based interview questions. It helps both sides. Yourself, you will be able to think about your significant accomplishments and a method for answering those questions. STAR is just short for the situation that you're in. T is for task, what you were tasked with. The A is for action, what actions you took. And the R is for your results. So you always want to answer that question with what was the end result. That will help you to give you clear, concise interview answers to those types of questions. For an employer, you demonstrate that you've thought about your significant accomplishments and you have clear and concise thinking, and it makes that easier for them to know what you can accomplish for them. So there's two sides of it. The STAR method, everybody should know it. Everybody should practice it. Everybody should share that with their college students, their teenagers, the people that they know that are changing jobs. Everybody in this country should know the STAR method for answering behavioral-based interview questions and get good at it.
It's interesting. I have a young adult living in my house who's transitioning into the workforce or trying to get a leg up in the workforce. So how do you apply the STAR method, or how do you, in the midst of this pandemic, and people talk about, that's a phrase I wish we could just get rid of, the pandemic is going to be with us for a while. So how can we leverage the pandemic, if you will, to get into our next career or transition or get that first opportunity right out of college?
Well, the reality of it is it's been with us for almost over a year now. And how to leverage, getting a job at this time. Let's think about all the work situations and roles that had to adapt to the new normal. Share examples of how you've adapted to that new normal in a prior position, or in an internship at college, or think about what the world has gone through. Find examples of how you adapted to that. You could also, we're all working remotely, Freddie.
We sure are.
Bring forward examples of how you've worked independently, but also a part of a collaborative team. We're still meeting, but day to day, we're working remotely, independently. If you've had that type of experience in an internship, or apprenticeship, or another job, that's what employers would like to hear. How are you going to be able to work independently? How you're going to adapt? And just more importantly, how do you remain forward thinking and positive when there's so much uncertainty? I think if you demonstrate and cite examples of how you worked through a lot of these issues that were caused by the pandemic, and you stayed positive and forward thinking and keeping an eye towards the future, I think you'd make a compelling reason of why to be hired in the middle of a pandemic. Because again, going back to that STAR method, you are citing specific example situations that you had to overcome a lot caused by the pandemic.
Joe McKenzie, I've talked to a lot of people who are lamenting that, oh my gosh, I've got to get on another Zoom call, or I have to go to duos, or I have to do meetups, or whatever the case might be. But I'm thinking that perhaps that might be a little short-sighted because we mentioned earlier, just a few minutes ago, that there are going to be some things, there will be an adjusted new normal, and some of the things that we're doing during the pandemic will likely follow us into the new normal, whatever that might be. And I'm thinking that technology, using video calls and so forth, might be something that'll stay with us for the long term.
I agree, Freddie. And I think that first couple rounds of job interviews, Freddie, I think will from here on out be via Zoom or some kind of virtual platform. They won't bring in a lot of people to the office to do the interview. So for us to approach the next stages of our career, our differential is going to be being able to harness the technology, become practiced at what we do, meaning just the everyday protocols of a Zoom interview, get good at them, but also making sure that you have the technology to put your best foot forward. Freddie, for years, when we go to interview, make sure you have the right resume paper, the right, right suit on, right attire, right briefcase. That was putting your best foot forward, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, let's apply that to technology, making sure that you have a good web camera, that you have a good microphone. I've been in so many Zoom settings where I can't hear somebody. Now, if you are going to approach it that way, you're not bringing your differential. So investing in yourself and your technology, it might be as simple as ordering a USB microphone that plugs into your laptop that has the new webcam. That's the differential. We have to think that way, because once the pandemic's over, employers may say, hey, this is really efficient. We have 5 Zoom interviews lined up this afternoon. Why would they go back to bringing people in? Maybe towards the finals, but in the early rounds, we as people that are in transition, trying to get promoted, coming out of college, be ready for the Zoom interviews or visual platforms going forward.
Can not being well practiced in a Zoom, I'm just calling Zoom as a, I'm using it like the word Kleenex, can be not being practiced in a Zoom interview be a way that an employer or career advancement opportunity could screen you out of that opportunity?
Yes. I've seen situations where people haphazardly put together their interview spot in their home, and it doesn't look, it's not well lit. It's not very organized. Well, or there's sounds coming in where the applicant is being distracted. Yes, not being practiced and not ensuring that you have a good setting can reflect upon your interview. We have to really rethink how we go about it. Just like if we walked into a conference room and we're putting our best foot forward, think about when we turn that web camera on for an interview to bring our differential with a quiet spot, with good lighting, with good sound, and a good backdrop to make sure that you present yourself right. You stay focused on the questions at hand and are not distracted. Yes, be ready for the years to come doing virtual interviews.
We're just about out of time, but Joe McKenzie, this is a hot topic, and I'm just wondering, so some tools that we can use to put our best foot forward, whether it's a career transition, whether you're trying to get promoted, or maybe you're graduating from college in the middle of a pandemic, or maybe you're trying to get a better opportunity, what should we take into the weekend to help us to present ourselves in the best possible light, Joe McKenzie?
Reflect upon the past year and how you've had to adapt. You've had to work differently than you were if it wasn't a pandemic, and make sure that you remain forward thinking and positive with the right technology so you can present yourself either transition, getting promoted, or coming out of college. All those aspects are going to come into play in the new normal of virtual interviews and in the pandemic and coming out of the pandemic. Those are the things I would think about this weekend.
All right. And if you'd like more information, we talked about the STAR method of interviewing. That can be found on Joe McKenzie's website, RippleConnects.com, where you do some fine work. You turn candidates into contenders, Joe McKenzie.
Yes, we do, Freddie Bell.
All right. And you're listening to New Beginnings.
RippleConnects.com, connecting you to your better future. Hi, I'm Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects and trainer of Ripple Effect Networking. Establishing and maintaining a strong professional network is critical to you and your organization's success. My techniques will help you stand out so you can create new sales opportunities, develop and sustain meaningful connections, grow your franchise or small business. If you want to schedule Joe McKenzie to speak to your organization, email me, joe.mckenzie@rippleconnects.com. Your network plus my techniques equals more success for you.
The Minnesota COVID-19 Vaccine Connector is a tool that helps you find out when, where, and how to get your COVID-19 vaccine. Signing up for the Vaccine Connector is easy, safe, and secure. All Minnesotans should sign up regardless of whether they're currently eligible to get vaccinated. Go to mn.gov/vaccineconnector to sign up. If you can't sign up online, ask your family and friends to help or 833-431-2053. Translation is available by phone in all languages. This message from KMOJ and MDH.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think Real Possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/Twin Cities.
You are probably hearing a lot of information about COVID-19 vaccines right now. We wanted to answer some common questions about how COVID-19 vaccines have been made. How are COVID-19 vaccines made faster? Usually, testing a vaccine to make sure it is safe and works is done before large amounts of vaccines are made. Because of the pandemic and money from the federal government, scientists did both at the same time. Only vaccines that have been tested and are shown to be safe are used. How are COVID-19 vaccines tested? All COVID-19 vaccines go through tests called clinical trials. Each vaccine goes through more than one test. First, the vaccine is tested with a small group of volunteers, then a couple hundred, then tens of thousands of people. Volunteers for COVID-19 vaccine trials come from many diverse communities and backgrounds. This is the same process used for testing other vaccines. How do COVID-19 vaccines get approved? For the vaccines that make it past all the tests, a team of medical experts will look at the test results and how people felt after they got the vaccine. If the vaccine works and it's safe, it gets approved. There are many groups of scientists and experts that are reviewing the vaccine safety data for COVID-19 vaccines and making recommendations. Only approved vaccines are given to people. Who is getting vaccine first? A national advisory group for CDC looked at the data and made recommendations for who should get the vaccine first. Some groups that are at the highest risk for COVID-19 or could get very sick from COVID-19, got the vaccine first. Minnesota has a team of experts who will help make sure vaccine is available to everyone fairly, with a focus on health equity. As more vaccine becomes available over time, more people will be vaccinated. For more information about the COVID-19 vaccine, visit the Health Department's website.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Dr. Michael Osterholm, who remains an advisor to the Biden administration, has warned that there will be a hurricane of infections and deaths by the end of this month. This as President Biden is expecting to have enough coronavirus vaccines available for all Americans by the end of May. Dr. Michael Osterholm joins us right now. Do you still stand by that statement in light of yesterday's announcements?
I sure do. The challenge with yesterday's announcement, which, by the way, is a wonderful announcement, and I congratulate the administration and the efforts that they're putting forward, but it's all about time. Right now, the B117 variant, the one that we saw originating in the United Kingdom, is now spreading quickly here in the United States. And in fact, we've watched it go from about 1 to 2% of all the cases in places like Florida and Georgia and California And this week it's in the 20 to 30% of all cases. And this virus is a nasty one. It spreads anywhere from 40 to 50% more effectively than the previous virus strains. It causes more severe illness. And in all the countries of Europe and the Middle East that have had this B.1.1.7 emerge, once the case numbers get over 50% of all cases, we see a major surge. We predict that'll probably occur in about two to three weeks. We're going to see a major uptick in cases. And unfortunately, all that vaccine, which will be a godsend when it arrives, is not going to get here until April or May.
So this is concerning, especially now since spring break is right around the corner.
You know, yeah, and it's more than spring break. It's everyone in the country wants to open up, and I understand why. We all do. Oh, boy, do we. It's been a terrible, terrible financial hardship for so many people. You know, one out of five families in this country right now don't have food to put on the table today. So this is a real challenge, and we have to understand that. But I can tell you also that where this has hit hard in Europe and the Middle East, and what we will see here soon, is that it virtually will shut down society. In Europe right now, they've been in lockdown, meaning nothing's open since Christmas in many of these countries, just to try to contain this particular strain of the virus. So as we go forward over the course of the next month to 6 weeks, the more people we can get vaccinated, the better. But it's also coming at a time when everybody is relaxing all the restrictions they put in place. And I fear that that's just going to basically slingshot this virus right into our population.
Everyone, we're talking with Dr. Michael Osterholm, epidemiologist and advisor to the Biden administration. So what is the prescription, if you will, Dr. Osterholm, as we go in, if the months are still starting to pile up? How do we stem this tide, even as Greg Abbott in Texas is saying he's repealing the mask mandate and opening up the state of Texas?
Well, it could not come at a more inopportune time. You know, as I've said many times before, unfortunately, is the fact that we are very good at this country at pumping the brakes after we wrap the car around the tree. At this point, that's the challenge we're going to have. And so I have no doubt that in the upcoming weeks, we're going to see a fundamental change in how we're looking at cases, what they're doing to our healthcare system, et cetera. We still have upwards of 60% plus of our population that have not been infected or nor have they had vaccine. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, that leaves a lot of people left to, after a year of suffering through this horrible, horrible pandemic, to have that size of a population still susceptible to the virus is a real challenge.
Yesterday, four new deaths reported right here in Minnesota, 443 new cases. Do you agree with prioritizing certain groups for a single shot with the Johnson & Johnson dosage?
At this point, my focus is getting us through the next 4 to 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And getting us vaccinated as well as we can. If I had my druthers, I would be wanting to see everyone 65 years of age and older getting at least one shot. We know that this vaccine can be effective even with just one shot. And within 3 weeks, it does an incredible job of protecting us against severe illness, hospitalization, and death. This is our grandpas and grandmas, our moms and dads, our brothers and sisters. They account right now for 80% of all the deaths. So if we could much more effectively divert the vaccine for this short period of time only, everyone still should get two doses. They should get them. They will likely have, you know, very good access by the end of April, early May. But for this window of time now, I would like to see all the vaccine prioritized to those 65 years of age and older for a single dose.
And so what would be your prediction on when we can start to emerge on the other side of this and start to get to a different normal if we still have money to operate businesses and live our lives?
Yeah, and you said it very well, by the way. I very much agree with your take on this. And I think it's going to be, you know, in late spring, early summer. I think we can see a big change. The only possible rock in the shoe there is the fact that we've got these new variants that also, in some cases, cause the vaccine protection not to be nearly as effective. Now, we have to be very mindful of that and watch that carefully. If those virus strains should start to spread, then we've got another problem. At this point, they haven't spread like that in the United States in any a large way, but we've got to watch it very, very carefully, and that could be our next roadblock.
Doctor, our last question this morning, what would be your advice to people who are still on the fence? A lot of people of color in our BIPOC communities who are concerned about taking the virus, the vaccine, I should say. What can you say to this group of people who are concerned about the efficacy of the vaccine in their lives?
Well, I understand their concern. They have an entire history of being deceived or being, you know, experimented upon. And all I can say is that now this vaccine is a lifesaver for them. Not to see the BIPOC community have a really extensive access to this vaccine in a way that makes it easy for them to get it. You know, if you tell somebody you got a dose of vaccine waiting for you, but it's 3 miles across town, and this is a 78-year-old individual who has to take public transportation, that doesn't work. So what we really need to do is make sure that we provide the access. The second thing we have to do is we have to help them understand how this vaccine was made, the fact that it is very safe, the fact that it can save their lives, and that one of the most important things they can do to protect themselves right now from serious disease, and as you know, the BIPOC community has been absolutely adversely affected by this virus, more so than any of our other populations. So at this point, we've got to do everything we can to get the vaccines there and work with community leaders. This is going to be a very important joint effort with community leaders to get these individuals vaccinated as soon as possible to save their lives and to save the lives of their moms and dads and their aunts and uncles and grandpa and grandmas.
That's Dr. Michael Osterholm, epidemiologist and advisor to the President of the United States and also the author of the book, Deadliest Enemy, Our War Against Killer Germs. Thank you for being with us this morning.
Sure, thank you.
All right, and you're listening to New Beginnings.
Minnesota is home to a robust network of more than 300 food shelves that may be able to offer additional food support to families and individuals who are suffering from hunger. Hunger Solutions can locate a food shelf near you. Call the Minnesota Food Helpline at 1-888-711-1151, 888-711-1151, or use the interactive map at hungersolutions.org. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
You're listening to New Beginnings on AM 950. And I want to continue right here and give you some information about AARP. There's always more to discover with your AARP membership. You have access to a wide variety of carefully chosen discounts, information, and services, and an advocate for important issues like Medicare and Social Security. Here are just some of the other member benefits from AARP. Insurance, access to auto, dental, home, life, vision, and other quality coverage for your health needs from top companies, including the AARP Dental Insurance Plan, administered by Delta Dental Insurance Company. How about family caregiving? We talked about that earlier. Care guides, simple checklists, support options, and other free resources designed to help you care for your loved ones, all available online through AARP family caregiving sites. And also health and wellness, brain health tips, online tools, savings for eye exams and eyewear, and a free annual hearing test by phone. You also can get work and jobs, resources to help you find a second career or part-time work, plus access to the AARP job board, a job search tool for workers who are 50 years old and over. I know you love to travel. Vacation ideas for every budget and discounts on hotels and car rentals, flights from British Airways, vacation packages, and more. And, of course, finances. You can find online calculators to help you manage your finances, access to money management tips, and more. Explore all of your benefits with the easy-to-use enhanced destination. That's AARP.org/benefits.
You can download their free app right now for your digital membership card, daily news, local events, and benefits in your area.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
With me right now is Jay Hafala. He is the Associate State Director of Community Engagement for AARP Minnesota. Good morning, Jay, and welcome back.
Hey, Freddie. Thanks very much. It's good to be with you as always.
Glad you're with us. And the pandemic doesn't seem to be going away anytime soon, even though we're hearing some wonderful things about vaccines happening in the United States and even right here in our community. And I'm sure that AARP is providing some great information, some advocacy and resources to help people stay healthy. Can you outline some of those things that AARP is getting behind and helping our residents?
Sure. Well, we've certainly been hard at work as a result of the pandemic and the needs of older people here in Minnesota and across the country. Whether it's to stay healthy and get information about vaccine and about the pandemic itself, we've been providing that information, but also about helping people cope with the disruptions and the challenges that have come about as a result, whether they have been job losses and financial disruptions or other issues within families. We're, you know, doing what we can to help people get that straightforward information. We're advocating on behalf of them at the state capitol and in Washington, D.C. One of the issues I can speak with you about today is just the amount of fraud and scams that the con artists have, you know, been using this pandemic and our crisis situation to take advantage of people. Whatever is in the headlines, when you pick up the newspaper or turn on the radio, that's what the con artists are going to be using to victimize people.
It sounds like it is an industry all into itself. And I'm wondering, what are you seeing now? I mean, we've got the three new vaccines, but what kind of scams, if any, are centered around vaccines?
Sure. So we have not seen a lot of widespread scams around the vaccines, but we know it's happening. And con artists are going to be contacting people. I think the main red flag to look out for is that if anyone is saying that you can pay some money to get the vaccine earlier rather than later, that is a scam. If they're saying they're going to send it to you at home and you can, you know, stick it in your own arm and you got to pay some money to receive it, that's a scam. And anyone saying that if you pay early, or, you know, if they're trying to collect your payment information so you can get at the front of the line, that's a scam too.
Well, everybody, Jay Hafala with us this morning, the Associate State Director of Community Engagement for AARP Minnesota. And coming up in just a few days, you've got a partnership with the Better Business Bureau. Can you tell us about that in the webinar that's on the way?
Sure. We have a long history of working with the Better Business Bureau and many other fraud experts, you know, with the government and with, you know, nonprofits around Minnesota. And we work together to help people stay a step ahead of these con artists. So on March 16th, we're hosting a webinar. It's free and open to the public. People just have to go to our website and sign up to get the link so they can join the webinar. And we have guests from the Federal Trade Commission and the IRS to talk about tax scams this tax season. And a representative of the Minnesota Department of Commerce is going to talk about investment scams, which have been in the news lately. You might have heard of these sort of stock options and get-rich-quick schemes. And people under financial stress are really at risk of those type of investment-type scams. But you can learn all about them if you join us on March 16th. It's at 11 o'clock in the morning. It'll be recorded, too. So if you can't join live, you still go to our website. It's aarp.org/MN. And then within that website, there's an event section, and that's where you can see this program, March 16th, 11 a.m., to learn about scams with the Better Business Bureau and AARP.
What time does that webinar kick off, Jay?
That's 11 a.m.
11 a.m. Okay, great. So can we get alerts? I know that these scams aren't going away anytime soon. Is there a way to get alerts about different scams that you've discovered?
Yes. So our Fraud Watch Network program, I guess the easiest way for a lot of people would just be to go online to aarp.org/Fraud Watch Network. And through that website, you can sign up to get alerts. So every you know, every so often, frequently, as we get reports of new scams coming through, then we send out an email to all the people who are signed up to receive them, and we help them stay ahead of the con artists so you know what scams there are going to be coming to your email inbox and your on your telephone and wherever else the scammers are trying to get us.
Is there a final thought that you'd like to leave us with this weekend, Jay?
Sure. I think, you know, anytime right now, whether it's your taxes, your finances, whether it has to do with the vaccine and the pandemic, anyone that is calling you and telling you that they need your payment information or your personal information, that's a red flag just to take a step back, slow down, be cautious, and do your homework. And maybe, you know, talk to a family member or someone you trust about those kind of financial decisions. And you can call us with our Fraud Watch helpline. It's 877-908-3360.
Thank you for being with us this morning on our show. Jay Happala, the Associate State Director of Community Engagement, AARP Minnesota. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Minneapolis Public Housing is right now on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
With us right now is Kitty Harris. She is a property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center in Minneapolis. You can see them at 612-344-2221. As you said, you should call them. And the address is 1015 4th Avenue North. She's talking to us about the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center and the vaccine rollout and some of the behind-the-scenes activity that is taking place.
Warn people, because the biggest thing is, yeah, we can have the vaccines available at the building, but if the residents don't trust it and are not coming down and or don't know how to fill out the paperwork accordingly, it could be a problem. And so we have to be very specific on what we ask for, because once you break that seal, you have to use it in a certain amount of time. So we're going to try to do our best with this community and see if we can get people to come out and get it done.
So as you're inoculating the entire family, have you been hearing from the families about what they think about the vaccine or whether or not they should take it? Or what have you been hearing on the street?
Not too many of, well, and so for at the center in our adult day program, every member that's there has taken it. At Feeney Manor, all of the residents have taken it at and the staff at 350 Van White. It was open to residents that wanted it and staff. So it's more so about, for us on the campus, it's about if people want the vaccine, because we had extras and people, we didn't have enough people to give it because we just didn't have enough staff. Whereas at our other building, the staff got it, but the residents were like, no. So I think it really just depends on, you know, people's personal backgrounds and their history. Most people have been saying, yes, give me the vaccine though. So it'll be interesting to see when we start to get to our Northside building, particularly 1710 Plymouth and 618 and 315 Laurie, if those residents will accept the vaccine.
Wow. So you've been working with Cora McCorvey for quite some time at MPHA. What's your expectation? What do you think will happen?
I think that the vast majority of our senior buildings will take it, just because I think to them they will feel that this represents them getting their next step towards freedom, because they have been severely isolated since March of last year. And so I think a lot of seniors have that expectation of, oh, I'm vaccinated, I can come outside. And so I think that with that in their head, they will take it. And then they're going to realize that the science is saying, even though you're still vaccinated, you still need to do this, this, and this, and then maybe. But I think that the vast majority of them will take it, even if it's just some people following the other people and don't want to be left out. I think they will take it.
So how did you communicate in your building? So how did you communicate that to the residents in Feeney and so forth, where you've got 100% participation? What was the messaging that really drove those numbers?
Well, in Feeney, because it's assisted living and memory care, you have to have the consent of the adult children or the power of attorney. So Feeney was a little bit more easy to manage. We only have 48 units there. It's round-the-clock care, and this was essential for them because, you know, they don't like it to be akin to a nursing home, but this is essentially a nursing home vibe. And so we had to have that understanding. With the adult day, the only way they could continue to come and operate through with the state of Minnesota was for them to be willing. And again, because it's such a close working relationship with the clients and the the care providers, they were able to, the families were able to sign off on it. So those two instances, family members had to sign off on their loved one receiving it. And so that's why we were able to get 100% participation for those.
That's pretty incredible. And then even so, your numbers of people getting ill or coming down with cases, testing positive, has been almost nothing.
Yeah, we haven't had any outbreaks now because, especially with Feeney Manor, like, we literally, as soon as it was a thing, it was shut down immediately. No family visits, nobody in or out, as much PPE as possible. And so, we had no breakouts down at Feeney and or 350 Van Wyck. And so for us, the biggest thing was, you know, these are people with Alzheimer's and dementia. So they're already having a different kind of decline. So the couple of deaths that we have had over the last couple of years were related to illnesses that they already had.
It really says a lot about MPHA, Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, when we've seen across the state when there are a lot of people who are dying or becoming ill in assisted or communal living arrangements.
It's definitely a lot of work, but, you know, it's assuring to know that even with all of the cracks in the system, that you're still able to protect your people and make sure that they're good.
Well, Kitty, we can't thank you enough for being with us this weekend, talking about the vaccine rollout at the high rises at MPH and also the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. I'm Freddie Bell, and you're listening to New Beginnings, and we have a lot more to go. Stay with us as we're just getting started.
Freddie welcomes Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis.
Good morning to you. I'm Freddie Bell, and with me now is Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis, westmetrohypnosis.com, 952-222-3975. I still remember a really peaceful conversation that we had at the beginning of this in Edina office building when we talked about the possibilities of doing a program together, and here we are with a mindful reset.
Oh, yes. I remember that conversation too, Freddie. And it's always my pleasure to be with you and my pleasure to offer this to your listeners. And so we can just start with a deep breath. For those of you who have been with me before, just notice the difference when you give yourself a moment in time to really settle in. It doesn't have to be long. It's what you do with the time that you do have. And so using this consciously, deliberately, to slow down and breathe. Just take a moment to settle into your body. To feel what it feels like when you drop into your body. You have all the time you need to get whatever is yours to do today. Whatever is important enough always gets done. And you even have time to slow down. Become present, become aware, dropping into your body, using your breath to release tension, to release tightness. And for you dog owners out there, you'll know this from your dogs. When they drop so deeply into their bodies, they take a deep breath in and they completely release all tension, all tightness. And we know this because they sigh and we can feel their entire bodies just deflating and decompressing into the moment. I invite you to become like your dog right now. Just taking that deep breath in and with a deep sigh, relaxing fully down, feeling the muscles of your body become soft and loose, perhaps even limp for a few moments. The benefits are tremendous. As you settle into your body, fill up your lungs, oxygenate your blood so that when you come back more fully, more present, more capable, more alive right now. And I wish you all a beautiful day. Be well.
And the same to you. That's Kelly Von Hynekamp of West Metro Hypnosis, and you're listening to New Beginnings. We now continue a lesson by the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of the Unity South Church in Bloomington, entitled The High Watch. Here is part two of that program.
Without their commitment to that light, Unity would not have come into existence as a worldwide spiritual movement, or at least not come into existence as we've experienced it. Myrtle was the first to experience an inner revelation. Years later, she wrote, "I must have been fully ready for the initial lesson, for it filled and satisfied all the empty, hungry longings of my soul and heart. Human language cannot express the vastness of the possibilities I saw. My possibilities." She described her guiding light when she realized her potential for health and wholeness. She said, "I am a child of God. Therefore, I do not inherit sickness." She knew without a doubt that she had within her, as God's gift, a spiritual potential for radiant health and further development of her soul capacities. She said this potential took years to physically manifest in her life, but she had confidence that it would unfold in the right way at the right time as she did her work. Her husband, Charles, took a little longer to catch the light of truth. He described his awakening this way. He was in the midst of studying various religions all over the world, trying to learn of spiritual traditions. Perhaps some of you have been on that path, learning all of these different ancient wisdom traditions. And he saw so many different ideas. One day he burst out and said, "In all this babble, I will go to headquarters. If this God they all talk about is spirit, and I am a living spirit, then somehow we can communicate." He grasped this idea that the Creator and the created had a connection. They could communicate. He could learn in greater understanding the wisdom of God for this world. Through their years, Myrtle would hold to her light that she was a child of God and had potential for wholeness. Charles held to his light that he was a spiritual creation of the Great Spirit, and there could be communication, a oneness. So let's get back to our lives, yours and mine. We all have something. You may think you don't, but you do. If you're living and walking on this earth, believe me, you do. We all have something to which we hold fast. Our conviction, our faith, our truth. For me, the truth, the conviction I hold in my heart is we are never alone. We can never be alone. This is something I'm sure of to the very depth of my being. Think about it. As an older bachelor, you can imagine how this truth might unfold as a saving grace for me. What we need at the very depth of our being, remember Myrtle's words, the hunger and longing of her heart. What we need at the very depth of our being is connected. It's a clue to what is most essential. What is our most important truth or principle? What is your truth? It doesn't have to be a mysterious, exalted idea, a major revelation for humanity. It doesn't need to be an ancient mystical process. Get real. Get real with yourself. And if you don't know it already, begin to discover it. When I was in school, one of my professors told me, you've heard that term, an elevator pitch, a short expression of what a business means, what your career is about, whatever. Short. I have to work at it. Short. Concise. See if you can form, if you haven't already, a concise statement of what is truth for you. What is the most important thing to you? If you can express it in a short sentence, an elevator pitch, it probably needs fine-tuning. It probably needs a little more inner reflection. Or you may discover it's not quite it, that there's something else that's more foundational for you. It is that idea that motivates you every time, always gets you started. Perhaps your truth is your love connection with your spouse. Perhaps your love for your children, for your family. Or maybe your sense of purpose in life, perhaps to teach, to heal, to build, to discover. Perhaps that drives you forward. Maybe, and we don't need to be judgmental about this, maybe your driver is that you trust the most the value of manifest things, your possessions, your assets, your money. That is a powerful force. You have the right to choose it as your truth, your conviction, what you trust, what motivates you. There's only one caution. It's kind of like those warning labels on a package. Jesus put it this way in the Sermon on the Mount. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and thieves break in and steal, but store up treasures in heaven, that is, in spiritual realities that last. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So if you want to put all your trust, and this really feels true for you, in manifest things, in assets, stocks, bonds, money, That's your choice. None of us are here to judge that. Get real with yourself.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
If you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. Visit RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to RippleConnects.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.